Let's go to Psalm 27. For 1 month, on the days leading to Rosh Hashanah, every day they read Psalm 27. And remember, Psalm Rosh Hashanah to the sanctified is Judgment Day, or was Judgment Day. So if any of you are still here, it's only because of the grace of God and that He's imposing His all on all creation to give one more chance at repentance before Yom Kippur. That's why these days were called the Days of Awe, and that's why John the Baptist was baptizing during this period, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But it's critical to understand that for 1 month, or any time you talk about a month or a year or even a week, it's always a full, it means it's the same as the full cycle. So a week, that's why the Passover is the type of the Agape Feast each week. And you eat and you do the Afkamen each week, because that represents the full cycle of anything, of your life. But anytime something is repeated for a month, then it's especially important. And so Psalm 27 was read every day by all faithful Jews and first century Christians on the month preceding Rosh Hashanah, on the month preceding Judgment Day. Anybody have any response? Everybody know that Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day.
Pastor Butler's defense, we did study this.
Huh?
We did study this a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Now, again, remember, you got to hear this. Jesus is the light. He is salvation. He is peace. He is everything. So this psalm is, I mean, all psalms were His prayers, written by the Spirit of Christ in David, for Christ in the flesh, now for Christ in your flesh. They don't have anything to do with you. They have to do with Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, and it really it says, when the wicked ones, which includes yourself, and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty, or take, really what it says is, take delight only in the Lord, and to inquire, or to seek His will in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now that's critical, because that secret pavilion, the pavilion, the secret of His tabernacle, is something the world can know nothing about. It's not, and it's the closet that's spoken of in the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't mean some closet that you enter into, or some little room you build in your house where you have some kind of an altar. The pavilion and the secret hiding place of the Lord is always singular. It's the oracle. It's under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. So we are Christ's prayer is that His real being is hid always under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. Everybody got that? So when you pray, when you go into your closet to pray, This is your closet. Are you here? Everybody here? Somebody's not here.
Somebody just walked down the street. We're looking to see what
it is. Please don't turn that thing.
It's Kevin's friend.
It's 74 degrees in here. So.
The AC just doors that went on.
Yeah, turn the air conditioner off.
Oh, I thought you said turn it on.
No. Sorry.
Okay, can we all return to the rest? My wayward soul?
Sorry, strangers went down the driveway.
How come I knew that?
Did you see it?
No. Mojo.
Bojo.
Bojo's mojo.
You got your
dojo
working.
And she learned in his dojo.
Carolyn doesn't like that.
She doesn't like that.
She's really mad now. She's going to take it out on Ronnie.
I won't be. Her maiden name was Smith.
Can you imagine the majesty when you pray, enter into your closet? Can you feel how massive that is? That's why it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. The oracle is the name of that place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. If any man pray, let him enter the closet, the secret place. It's really, in the use of the word in classical Greek, it meant your treasure chamber, where you kept your treasures hidden.
Somewhere talks in the Old Testament, Jesus did that a lot. Didn't he? He separated himself and got alone.
Yeah, he went to the closet.
He went to this place.
Right. Now, if you don't know where that closet is, then you don't know how to pray. Because if you know where the closet is, then you'll never have to learn how to pray. Prayer will be your being. John, are you here? Somebody in that quadrant isn't here. You here?
I'm here. I keep pushing out, being irritated about the other time screen. I am irritated.
Well, can you just forget it?
Yeah, I am.
It's meaningless.
I am. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Well, my brother told my mother that I told him that he's supposed to pay $355 for this dental stuff today. And he told her that I said that all she had to pay is $100 each time. So, I know.
Okay.
That I told her.
You remember every time when you come into Bible study, it should be preceded by the Shema, or the Shema. Hear, O Lord, the Israel, and it means hear, because you've left everything else outside the door. You've cast everything out there. What?
Yeah, we think of it as this place. This is where we.
This is the only place you can study.
Yeah, and this place. We enter into.
Do you understand that and this is really this will blow your socks off if you can hear what it means. You couldn't study the scriptures corporately unless there were at least 10 and no more than 20. That was the reason for the minyan, so that it would always constitute the perfection of the body instead of the perfection of the isolated self. So that all the concern was for the earthly matrona, the earthly mother, so that it would be like the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly matrona. And it's by that insistence that you not seek after your own will and seek after your own way that the heavenly matrona and the earthly matrona, the heavenly mother and the earthly mother, define and join. And when they join, the end comes.
This is what I was thinking about when you said, was that 10 or 20, that's 10 at rest. The at rest is the same as what you're talking about, right? That's
the place. The only place you can be at rest is under the wings of the cherubim.
It's 10 or more who know that place.
But it assumes when you after Christ's resurrection and his ascension and after Pentecost, all assume that everyone that is in the place has appropriated the rest. So that there's neither. Normally, see, in the Old Testament, it had to be 10 men of rest, and so they may have to have 200 or 300 in order to find 10 men at rest. And every member of that 10 was equally important.
I was testing.
Yeah.
My glasses broke, but
I don't give a rat's ass if anybody pays any attention to me. That's not my concern. What I care is that when we are about this, that we are about this one singular thing. And that you have the courage to confess if you leave it.
I should probably say something about this. One night last week after Bible study, I was thinking about being in prison and having lived in prison, and that the bars of the prison are judgments about the way things should be and what's right and wrong and all that, and about just that by letting go of those, you can be out of prison. And a feeling came over me of total peace, total rest, total absence of againstness, joy, just sitting there in a different place. And I mean, it was the result of letting go of that stuff. It's the first time I ever experienced that. And in that moment, in that place, it was like a lot of things made sense. And the one that I remember was the one about running to the rock, being hidden in the rock, the place of safety. That's what all these songs and stuff are talking about being in,
hidden under the rock,
being hidden, being in Christ, you know, all that stuff. And that's the first time I ever experienced it.
Okay, now your obedience has been fulfilled. Now from this time forward, you're empowered to revenge all disobedience.
And the disobedience would be any bar that I put back up by judging what's right or wrong or how it should be.
That's right.
I was laughing at that the other day, thinking there's all these bars in the prison, but the door's not locked.
It's the door's wide open.
Yeah, just like
it. The door is always there. That's why.
Well, you stay in jail by choice.
Yeah.
But the irony is everything that you don't like is Christ knocking at the door. Without exception. And he's just reminding you the door is always open. The sin offering lieth at the door. Whatever the issue is, it lieth at the door.
And you can run back into that place.
As fast as the speed of thought.
And that also reminded me of you talking about all the times. I didn't know what you're talking about. You're talking about you go in and out of the sheepfold. Bearers reproach outside the camp and all that stuff. It just made sense.
Good. All right, everybody here now? One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble shall he hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Now, you cannot offer a sacrifice of joy any other place. and it's not something that can be liturgized. If any of you have ever been to charismatic churches, you'll have some song leader stand up and say, okay, now everybody offer the sacrifice of joy or the sacrifice of praise or the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It can't be liturgized. It has to come about as its own strength as each person has entered this secret pavilion, because it is the natural state in this pavilion.
Who are the enemies to you?
You.
Pardon?
You.
Excuse me? Say what?
You're the wicked ones. The mind. The thing that detracts you from this mystery. The singular thing that causes your eyes to move away just for a minute.
Why do they use the word sacrifice and joy?
Because, well, because it cost you your life to enter that pavilion. You've presented yourself as the living sacrifice, svazo in the Greek. You were slain or svazoed for your testimony.
Kind of an odd coming together of opposite.
Well, it's because
sacrifice doesn't seem to fit, and yet it fits perfectly here.
Right, because it's you can't understand any of this until you understand your death.
Yeah.
Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face alone, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a simple way because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, if you don't understand that he's talking to us corporately, if we don't understand that our enemies, the only enemies that we can have from God's perspective, is our own mind. Nothing else can touch us. That's why Jericho is such a critical issue. Because the walls of Jericho is what you break down, because you've read the Psalm 47 seven times as you walked, marched around the walls of Jericho. And there was no effort on your part. They just did that and the walls fell. The walls of Jericho are the part of you that keep the evil one encased and unidentified. And he's horrible. Remember the walls were, ouch. It's the oldest town in Eretz Israel. It means walled fragrance. It smells really good. It's 4.5 miles west of the Jordan, so as you've left in your baptism, it's the first thing you confront. It's 820 feet below sea level. It was built in the 7th millennium B.C. It's the oldest or earliest walled city in the history of man. The wall was 6.5 feet thick and 20 feet high, and had a stone tower 30 feet high and 28 feet in diameter. They discovered human skulls, quoted the dead skulls, and then they were coated with a slimy mud or clay-like thing, and then fashioned to be these grotesque, evil, human-looking, so that it seemed impenetrable. And the other great thing about this even with all of their harlotry and all the crap they did, and you know, and Rahab was even, you know, remember, she was a harlot that let down the city, and all that was in it was consecrated to God. But only Rahab and her household were saved. Now it was destroyed, and then there was a curse against anyone rebuilding it. And it was fulfilled at the time of Ahab in 1 Kings. It was very near the place of Christ's temptation. It's called Grove City. It's built on sand, which is really interesting. It's built on unconsolidated sedimentary deposits, so it's literally built on sand instead of being built on a rock like Jerusalem is. I should say that Jericho's wall, it was the first wall city yet discovered by archaeologists. They had irrigation as early as the 7,000 BC. The wall was built in 6,850 BC. The walls were destroyed and rebuilt at least 17 times during the first 1,000 years of the city. After Joshua's conquest of the city and his curse against it, it has remained uninhabited. The present city called Jericho is about 1.5 kilometers southeast of the site of the ancient city. The site of the ancient city is now a graveyard. Again, the city was rebuilt in the days of Hillel in the days of Ahab, and for this act he was revenged by the fulfillment of Joshua's curse. It was the site of the story of Elisha in 2 Kings. Now, the reason this is so critical to understand this is because you cannot experience the meaning of Rosh Hashanah until your Jericho is destroyed. As long as there's a walled city that's protecting you and your thoughts from the brethren, then there's nothing that you can experience. You might as well pack up your bags and go home. Because, remember, this place of, from God's perspective, unbelievable evil, was dedicated to God.
It's interesting the contrast of Jericho and the Plains of the Cherubim. It's like they're two secret places, but they're...
Yeah, one secret inward. There are four times that... Remember what the word harem means? Harem? It's something that's accursed. It really means set apart, and that's why, and it's funny, in the Arabic language, it's the place of the harem for the wives or concubines of the caliph. But in Hebrew, it's the accursed thing. And it says in Genesis 38, when Jacob and Esau were born, it says, and afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand. And remember, that's what happened. Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Esau was the firstborn, but the first thing to come out was a hand with a scarlet thread, which was Jacob's. You remember all that? Okay. The hand with the scarlet thread is mentioned four times in this mystery of God. It's mentioned first with the harem of Amalek. You remember Amalek, which is now you and I, but it was Amalek was yes. They were the first ones to curse Israel, the first ones to try to destroy Israel, and they came out of Egypt. And then they were Herod was an Amalek. Now you and I are Amalek. It was the harem of Jericho where the scarlet thread came out in the hand, and it was the harem of Canaan. In each case, their property was proclaimed accursed. And it's we could spend we're all the time, but that's really important. In order to fully have appropriated or have been apprehended by the meaning of Rosh Hashanah, the wall of Jericho has to have been destroyed. Now, it's nothing that you can do to destroy it internally, because if you try to destroy it internally, then it just builds, it builds stronger, gets wider. It can only be destroyed by confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. And that's why we went through so much of this. So the two things I want you to take away are Psalm 27, to remember and really hear it from the standpoint of it's the prayer of Christ in you, and Jericho. Rosh Hashanah was the day the earth was created, and it's the day the earth will be destroyed. And we are in the one day of Rosh Hashanah. You remember the rabbi said, today is Rosh Hashanah, today is Sabbath, today is Passover, today is Tabernacles, today is... Because time is no longer part of the equation, only obedience is. And the only reason he hasn't wiped out us all is because of his long suffering. Therefore, we account his long suffering as salvation. So now, we've celebrated the birth of Christ. Now the next feast is we celebrate his baptism.
It's interesting. It's like the beginning and the end are at the same time. The birth of Christ in you, thank God, before the judgment day.
Remember that little box I draw to try to show you the meaning of the of the Trinity. Well, the beginning of that box, and at the corner where I normally write, there's eternity, there's God, and the end of the box are the same point. And it's just like all of time and space is like just this little teeny bulge in eternity, and it comes right back to itself. Maybe billions of years, the way we calculate. But from God's perspective, it's the same point. That's why the gift of faith causes us to be able to see from the standpoint of eternity instead of the standpoint of time. So everything that's dependent or a function of the passage of time is harem or corrupt. Nothing in eternity, everything is in eternity is pure. Because nothing in the eternity is dependent on the passage of time. Everybody understand perfectly? You know you're the enemy? Wade?
The wall, son. They're interesting to think about, but the more you think about them,
the bigger the thicker they get.
My wall.
Yeah. When you can just be without any trying to be, without any thought of being.
And if you want to think about them, a good thought is to remember that they're cursed, everything inside the curse.
No matter how much it's dedicated to God.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Kevin's got a weird look on his face.
What's behind that wall?
I see skulls. What? Anything? All right, take it, big guy.